And that's the sound that means the markets are officially open for trading on this Wednesday. The Dow is flat. Boy, it's fighting really hard. I mean, it is in the green, considering that it was down probably 400 points. It just went negative about 9 right now. The S&P down about 4. The NASDAQ, however, NASDAQ seems to be in the green, and that's up about 3. So it looks like an interesting day. Now, we can thank Boeing for the fact that dragged all the futures back, because Boeing is up over 3%, I believe, right now, doing well this morning.
Yeah, WTI is up 10 years, about 24 basis points.
Brent is down a little. Brent's off a little bit.
Yeah, a touch. 18 bips. Not too much, though. It's flat by definition.
Now, guys, we were talking about the 3%, you know, the 10-year hitting 3%, you know, yesterday, and it, you know, kind of roiled the markets and everything. Tom McClellan, he does the McClellan Market Report.
He is famous for the McClellan Oscillator.
Yeah. His mother and father created the oscillator. He's been a guest on the show several times. Kind of tough to get these days because he's in demand. He's in the mountains over there. In Washington State or Oregon somewhere, and he's kind of tough. I guess he doesn't like to get up. But interesting man, but I have to say, has had some great calls. Charles, we talked about this before the break, as well as with Chase, the two of you. Do you think we're moving into a bear market? Because he thinks that we're seeing a bear market decline for stocks. And that it should, according to the oscillator, they see this probably not hitting a bottom till August.
I personally think we are in the early stages of a bear market, as I've joked several times. Nobody rings a bell at the top. It's, you know, ding, ding, ding. Okay, the bull market's over. You can get out now. So you don't really know until after the fact because, you know, stops chop around. They go sideways. They make you think they're going higher, and then you get disappointed. You don't really know oftentimes until, I mean, you're months or a year or two into it. But so, you know, the question is, well, what kind of bear market is it? Is it 2008 again? I mean, no, I don't think it's anything like that. But we haven't had a significant correction, a significant bear market, you know, any real setback hardly since 2009. Now, we had one near bear market in, I think, 2011 when the U.S. lost its AAA credit rating. I think stocks fell like 19% total. But we've had very little in the way of a pause. Stocks are extremely expensive. And this is where it gets into kind of anecdotal, you know, this is getting more subjective. But you're starting to see a lot of examples of what I would call late cycle behavior. People that are normally extremely conservative suddenly embracing risk and doing so kind of recklessly. So, yeah, I've given this example before. I had one client who a nice older gentleman, but he was extremely conservative. Yeah, I was going through some investment options with him, and I said, you know, look, I mean, this is a good option for you. You know, the worst downside I've ever seen in this is about 10%. And before I could even finish my sentence, he cuts me off. He's like, no. I mean, I can't lose 10%. I mean, I could never.
At least he knows what he has a stomach for.
Right. Yeah. Well, but he said that. But then 14 months later, he fired me to buy Bitcoin. And so, I mean, like, that's insane. I mean, how could a guy that conservative buy Bitcoin? I mean, Bitcoin's the most speculative thing I've ever seen in my life. But that's what happens. At the end of a long bull market, they see that stocks have gone up continuously for 9 years. Like, oh, well, the market always goes up. Well, yeah, I'll get in. And so, I mean, it's that last buyer. It's like, it comes down to, like, who's going to buy? Everybody's already in. You know, like, there's nobody left to buy, right? And I know that sounds simplistic, but that's really what happens in the late stages of a bull market. Everybody's invested. And so not just in stocks, but in like the riskiest stuff. And so also within the market, what have people been buying the last 3 or 4 years? They've all been plowing into the fangs, you know, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google. They've all been just piling into this narrow sliver of a handful of big, you know, high-profile tech stocks. Those, you know, the fangs. If you want to add Apple and, you know, toss in Microsoft too, if you want, sure, whatever. 5 or 6 stocks here account for almost 20% of the market. I mean, 20% of the market. I mean, these should account for, like, collectively 1% of the market if you're looking, like, equal weighting, of course. But cap weighting, they're 20% of the market. I mean, and they were pushing trillion-dollar valuations before the recent correction here. Mm-hmm. So all of this, to me, it suggests this is late cycle. You know, like we're late in the game. Doesn't mean that, you know. So we were late in the game in 1998 too, of course, and we had a little correction in 1998, and then stocks still went higher for another year before eventually topping out. So something like that could happen again. Sure, I mean, you can't rule it out. The market always throws you curveballs. But I would say it is, to me, the evidence, if you're kind of making a little T diagram here and putting the pros on one side and the cons on the other, whatever. I mean, to me, it looks like, yeah, I mean, it's looking more and more like a bear market. So that's why you got to be careful here. Be very, very confident in what you own. Be sure you're good with it.
Yeah, I mean, know why you're buying a stock. Know when it's time to go. Average in. You know, if you're buying a couple hundred shares, I'll just use 500 as an example. You know, don't put it all in at one limit order. You know, buy some today, buy some tomorrow. You know, see if you can average down. You're not going to be able to time this market. And expect that you could very well buy a stock and it be down that day, period.
Oh, sure.
Or the next day. No questions asked. So,
I mean, would you agree this is a time where it probably makes sense to have a little extra dry powder, have a little bit more cash in the account?
Absolutely. In fact, earlier in the week, I'm getting this question a lot. How much cash should I have? Just on my personal balance sheet. I keep 12 months, minimum of 6 months. Just always a good idea. Never know.
Yeah, I mean, it varies. I mean, if you're self-employed, I think you should have more. If you have, let's imagine you work for the government and the likelihood that you would ever get laid off is basically zero, right? You could probably get by with, if you imagine you're a public school teacher. You're never going to get laid off, right?
Yeah,
you could probably have a little bit less in your emergency funds. But if you're self-employed and you have a lot of risk in your profession, yeah, 12 months, you should.
Well, I mean,
absolutely.
I have a client that I personally like quite a bit. She's rather funny. But if there's $100 in her account, she asks me why it's not being invested. And I just keep reminding everybody, you do not just want to throw the spaghetti into this market.
No.
It's not.
Cash is a position. It's a tactical move.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. And having a little bit when you need it, very important. Very important. So,
well,
some food for thought there.
One thing that the McClellan Oscillator did say is it looks like we would have a little bit of a rally this week. Before.
Well.
But
oops.
I know. Well, no, just on the 27th for some reason. And, you know, interesting. I wish I could get Tom back
on. Well, no technical indicator like that.